G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
On a Thursday, we check in with Family Voice Australia, and a special welcome back to 2020 to Greg Bonder, who is Family Voice Australia State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Greg, welcome back to 2020.
Good morning, Neil. Delighted to be here again.
Hey, Greg, sort of a positive focus to kick off on some of the issues we'll talk about today. Some new laws in New South Wales set to tackle religious discrimination, and we hope we're not hearing the wrong things here, but some positive news about the Attorney-General in New South Wales.
Yeah, thank you, Neil. You know, we have to give credit to government when credit is due, and it is so pleasing to see the New South Wales government propose a religious discrimination bill, and that will be tabled in the coming months or perhaps next year. But what they're waiting on for, the government that is to make sure that you know, they are in tune with the forthcoming federal government religious discrimination bill, Neil, which you know is being under consideration at the moment. And Family Voice, in particular myself, I'm in very close conversation with the Attorney General's office on the proposed bill. So that will come out before the end of the year. Now, once that comes out, the New South Wales government will then look at how best to introduce a religious discrimination bill. My only reservation, Neil, is, and this is great news though, but my only reservation is that we make sure that we look at the finer detail, as you know, to coin a phrase, that devil is in the detail, and we have to make sure that it's in tune with the Christian and faith thinking of many of the denominations here in Australia. And and the other point I should make is that this is long overdue, because you would well know that the expert panel report, Religious Freedom Review by the Ruddick Review, had recommended that New South Wales should amend its anti-discrimination law to protect against discrimination. So good news all round, Neil.
And how it works here, Greg, I mean, as I understand it, the idea of adding religion to existing protected grounds, which are on all sorts of other levels, is the way the New South Wales Attorney General is thinking of how to protect religious freedom. Is that your understanding of what's happening?
Yeah, what's happening is the proposed bill will make discrimination of religion unlawful. Now, this is in line with what they've already got. Now, you may not agree with all of these, but the current Anti-Discrimination Act 1977 for New South Wales has such protected grounds for discrimination, including disability, sex, race, age, marital or domestic status, transgender status or carer's responsibilities, and even homosexuality. Now, they're going to add religion to that as well. But again, Neil, we have to look at the fine detail, because you don't know what sometimes is inserted that may or may not advantage the Christian community.
Now, the Commonwealth government is intending to introduce a religious discrimination bill, and I think everyone's sort of on their edge of their seat waiting for that before any sort of election is going to be announced. And so New South Wales, their discussion and moving that through, contingent on what happens at a Commonwealth level. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I have met numerous times with the Attorney General's office. We have put submissions in. In point of fact, Neil, I'm meeting with the representative of the Attorney General on Monday, and we're going to talk about what the bill is likely to contain. Now, again, Neil, it's very difficult to comment, to support or oppose until you've seen the legislation. Up till now, and I'm talking about the last 2 years, and I've had meetings with the then Attorney General Christian Porter. We've had roundtable meetings, we've had forums, and there were people that are opposed to it, people are for it, including organisations. And, Neil, we really need to see the finer detail of what's going to come out of the AG's office. But there is a need, in my opinion, for this bill to come to fruition.
Well, if there are positive things in there that will protect religious freedom, no doubt the Attorney General in New South Wales will be under fairly significant attack from all of the opponents there. So, and as you say, Greg Bondar, the devil's in the detail, and things can change between now and then. So we'll be looking to monitor that along closely. Hey, let's move on. Schools burning Tintin books in a racism storm. What's the story here?
Look, as you know, this situation happened back in 2019, but again, it's resurfaced because there will be an election in Canada, and the opposition leader raised this particular matter. Now, I don't know about you, Neil, but you know, I used to read these books to my kids, and they sort of loved it. And what's happened is that Radio Canada announced that the books, you know, Tintin and the Asterisk, were being burnt by a particular school in Canada, in the Canadian province of Ontario. The Providence Catholic School Board decided to burn some books and remove up to 4,700 books because they did not serve an educational purpose in the sense that they were offensive to the Indigenous community of Canada. So really, they went out and burned about 30 books. And Neil, I don't know if your memory's good or not, but I used to watch a film when I was a young kid called Fahrenheit 451, very much a dystopian film, all about censorship. And they were burning books because you weren't allowed to read books. And in actual fact, that film was in 65, I think, but it's now been remade in 1981. But the point I'm making here is, Neil, we are being censored once again on what our kids can and can't read. This is not on, Neil, and I hope it never comes to Australia, because we need to make sure that, you know, it is a freedom of conscience and freedom of thought, and we should be allowed to read these books. I mean, they're cartoon books, for goodness sake, Neil. And I'm so disturbed by this.
Well, the idea of burning books has to be disturbing at any level, because the idea that you might remember our book burning around the Bible being burnt. I mean, yeah, this is the sort of thing that you know, the mind starts to think of. But when there are racist overtones in books of the past, in some sense here, a little bit like monuments that people like to pull down and destroy, there is a sense here in which you can learn from those instances of how things have changed culturally over the time. And so I guess there's always going to be an argument not to burn books, but it does make a huge statement when somebody does throw books on the fire. Hey, a new report. This one's very interesting and even disturbing. Yeah. Finding 5 million Australians hit by some level of connection to suicides during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's pretty disturbing stuff, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely, Neil. And this is what I can't understand about many, many people in Parliament. You know, here we have a report, a very significant report by Suicide Prevention Australia. This is their State of the Nation report, and ironically, Neil, it was released last Friday, which was, believe it or not, World Suicide Prevention Day. That was Friday the 10th of September. But what do we have now, Neil? What a COVID paradox we have. We are forced to make sure that we have a jab, even though if you don't want it, so you don't die. At the next minute, we're free to choose our death under the Queensland New South Wales proposed voluntary assisted dying. I mean, society is in a great turmoil. It cannot decide what it wants to do. And quite frankly, Neil, this is so disturbing that suicide is really, really an issue for all people, all communities, and in particular for us as Christians, because, you know, we value life. And I was just reading Genesis 1, where we're talking about the Creator himself. Life is a gift for all of us, Neil, and we've got to remember that you know, life is a gift for all of us, and to take it away through the value-added voluntary assisted dying bill that Queensland is voting on today, the New South Wales will introduce, What a paradox it is that here we are trying to save lives, trying to save lives under COVID, and yet killing them under voluntary system dying. Neil, it's a real mess.
It's a big hypocrisy, and drawing attention to it is just drawing attention to the obvious, and no doubt listeners will appreciate drawing that attention. And just to understand, there have never been more lives lost to suicide in this country than right now. There are some numbers out. Australia's annual suicide rate, 3,318, and more than three times the deaths from COVID-19. Now, people can interpret that as they want, but those are disturbing. Three times more suicides than deaths to COVID-19.
Yeah, and the interesting thing here, Neil, is that the reason people suicide in particular, if you look at the data, social isolation, that's the same reason for voluntary assisted dying. Unemployment, family, cost of living, drugs, burden. And the report says clearly that the most at risk of people committing suicide over the next 12 months will be the 12 to 25-year-old, 42%, middle-aged Australians around about 29%, and in particular men, Neil. 29% of men will commit suicide because of one of the reasons, as I said, whether it's unemployment, family relationship, income, drugs or alcohol. Neil, this is a real issue and we need to protect these people's lives, not promote them under voluntary assisted dying, Neil.
That's right. Hey, Greg, let's top this up with a little bit of sad news. I was saddened to hear this week that in New South Wales, the Reverend Fred Nile has disendorsed Lyle Shelton as his successor. And I've been speaking to Fred Nile, I've been speaking to Lyle Shelton as they're manoeuvring their way along this path. And so it is quite a shock and certainly saddening to hear some news this week that Lyle Shelton has been disendorsed. Now, you're a personal friend of Fred Nile and you know Lyle Shelton personally. What are your thoughts as to what's been unfolding?
Neil, look, I have to tell you, when my time in federal parliament down there in Canberra, I learned one thing, Neil, and that is that a week in politics is a long time. Yeah. And that said, what I'm trying to say here is that politics will change overnight. Now, I've spoken to Lyle. I spoke to him last week. I'm sure he doesn't mind me mentioning that. I've spoken to Fred and his people in at Parliament House. The situation we have here is that sometimes decisions are made in the absence of full facts. Now, what happened here is, Neil, quite frankly, is that the Christian Democratic Party, and as you know, I was a federal director of that for many years, is now in a state of turmoil. It has seen some lot of angst and inboard fighting. There were people there that, you know, wanted Fred there and people that didn't want Fred there. Look, I saw Lyle as a real chance for the Christian Democratic Party to really make a go of it at the next election. Unfortunately, Fred has decided and he's said he's sought divine guidance to say he wants to stay on till the election in 2023 and finish off his term. Now, that puts the party and Lyle into an awkward position. And I'm hoping at the next council meeting, the Christian Democratic Party council meeting, that the matter will be resolved, Neil, because we can't have bickering and infighting within a Christian organisation. So I'm hoping both Fred and Lyle will come to see eye to eye, or at least some sort of resolution that will ensure that we have Christians in politics and, you know, making sure that there is a survival for a Christian political party.
It certainly is the case that there are a lack of Christian voices on the political horizon right now and staring towards a new federal election not too far away.
Yeah.
Christian Democratic Party was one of those hopes that there might be some federal candidates right around Australia for the Christian Democratic Party so that there might be a voice. This does throw a little bit of a spanner into the works there, and we'll be monitoring along that closely as to see what actually does come about from that. I think it was Fred Niles' birthday yesterday, and so not getting any younger, but deciding to press on through the length of his term. I think he clocks over 40 years in that seat in November this year. Greg, good getting your insights. Before I do let you go, what have you got coming up? You've got a few events and campaigns you're working on.
Yeah, very important, Neil. And on Monday the 20th, that's next week, at 10:30, I have a meeting with a number of MPs who are opposed to euthanasia and voluntary assisted dying. I've got the Honourable Fred Nile. Fred's going to join me. I've got a couple of other state politicians, Nathaniel Smith and Kevin Donnelly and Connolly. And what we've got also is your Dr. Mark Robertson, the Queensland Shadow Minister for Multicultural Communities. He's going to join me as well, and I've got a lovely lady from the Notre Dame University. So we're going to talk about why we must oppose voluntary assisted dying. And I'm hoping everyone will join me. It's free. Just go to the Family Voice website and register.
familyvoice.org.au. And, of course, euthanasia will be our topic of conversation through this coming hour. Wendy Francis joining us in just a few minutes from now. Greg Bonder, great getting your insights as always. Family Voice Australia State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Greg, thanks for joining us on 2020.
Yeah, thank you, Neil, and God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.